Guys, we have got a great show today. The Strain is back with flying full colors. Vasily Fett's a badass. He's got a new love interest. We got Ephraim being the same degenerate, depressed piece of crap he's been for two seasons now. But the episode was really entertaining. And Zach is still the asshole that we remember. Guys, I'm Tiny Rick. Let's go!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm not even gonna try.
Oh, baby, you know I'm done. Don't you cry no more.
All right, we are here for the Strain. Welcome to the Strain After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. If you haven't already, get subscribe on the YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Lemieux, at One Youngster, and at Rick Hong. We're going to be taking down season four, the final season of the Strain.
All right.
And there's going to be no stagnant viewing this season. It's exciting because they only have the one season. They're going to knock through all the rest of the story. And it's probably going to be pretty epic based on this episode.
No filler.
No filler. Exploding buses, blind kids on leashes, as is expected. Total weirdo Strain Strigoi tied up on leashes as well that are used to like sniff out assholes who wait in line to get bread but take two pieces of bread. That stupid son of a bitch better not take a second piece of bread. Strain dogs. Get them down at the doghouse. Strain dogs. Anyone down for strain dogs? We're going for a barbecue. Guys, I've given your Twitter handles, but you all know Michael Young. Mike Young is returning.
It's a beautiful day. We got Strain back, and you can find me online at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
We got some beautiful nuclear fallout above us in the studio. And you may know him as Angel de la Diablo. But actually just Rick Hong in a mask.
But, well, no, I'm the ghost of Angel from last season. I'm still mourning his death. But you can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G.
Because Rick wanted to come in and he wanted to remind us of the entire exciting buildup of a character that was just thrown in the trash.
They were like, man, this character's great. These two characters, Gus and Angel, are probably going to go on and do big things. And
Hey, we didn't see Gus this episode yet. But hey, that was season three. Okay, we don't talk about season three.
Okay.
It's just like Sleepy Hollow. We didn't talk about season three.
Good point.
We're on season four.
I thought season two, or season two of Sleepy Hollow.
You know, to be perfectly honest, Sleepy Hollow, like, this is following the same pattern. Great first season.
Yeah.
Iffy second season.
True.
Terrible third season. Fourth season was great for Sleepy Hollow. Dude, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm really in, because, like, from this first episode, I'm totally in. We're going to break down Ephraim's character. Then we're going to move on to Vasily Fett being a badass and, of course, hooking up with girls. Telling every girl that he doesn't know what he'd do without them. And then leading to him in a situation where he's without them and he just finds another one that he can tell that he doesn't know what he'd do without them. Because he's a badass.
Yo, man. When you got the ladies like that, it's okay.
That's true. You know, you got hot ladies like that. That's absolutely true.
He's never... I really would love to see him back, you know, before the whole strange Strigoi thing. He was probably really... For lack of a different phrasing, he was probably swimming in it, okay? He was probably, you know, he probably had the ladies.
His Tinder profile is like, hey, I'm a 42-year-old man. I live in an apartment in New York, and I catch rats, and I'm 6'4". And lady's like, 6'4", you say?
Oh, you say 6'4"? 6'4"?
And I have a bad... bad black beard.
Oh, yeah, the beard. It gets him, man. Beard gets him, man.
I can breathe very heavily on you and catch rats. 6'4". 6'4".
I like crowbars.
You want to go to a bar?
I got a crowbar. Like an iron spike or something? I don't know what he had. He was just like hitting people in the head with it too.
Shout out to everyone who's joining us in the live chat. Of course, we're going to be doing this show every Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yep.
Shout out to Adam Fink, Danger Dan. Who else is in here? Megan Vampire 08.
Ooh, nice.
Lel Kid, that's you.
That's me.
Anthony, why are you putting on split screen when there's three of us? What are you doing? Take that off.
That was an accident. I'm getting ready for the call right now.
Yeah. Look at this, guys. We're like split screen with like...
I just, I didn't,
half of Rick and half of Michael. That's a foreboding thing for this after show.
Oh, man.
So, guys, we actually have Casa Anvar. We're going to Skype him in right now.
Sanjay Desai.
Sanjay Desai, as we know, he was the one who set up the blood factories. Mm-hmm. He was helping Palmer with that before Palmer became the master. He wasn't in this episode, but to start off the season, we thought it'd be great to get somebody in here who's on the show.
Yep.
Cass is a great friend of AfterBuzz TV's. You'll see him on all sorts of sci-fi shows. Any show he's on, we always try to get him in here. And I just want to talk to him really quick, like, see what the experience and what should we kind of expect. Of course, no spoilers. But, guys, we do have him on the line right now. Cass, welcome to the Straight After Show.
Hey, calm down there.
Okay, I'll tone down the energy. So,
It's after midnight where I am. Calm down.
Well, you have the nuclear winter above you, so it's midnight all night.
Wait, hold on. Cass, are you shooting? This is Rick. I don't remember me from The Expanse.
That's right. How you doing, brother?
Good. So is that where you're at? Are you shooting that right now?
I'm in Toronto. Just started season 3.
Okay.
Ooh.
Nice. Okay. So you weren't on the premiere of The Strain, but your role was kind of downplayed in season 3. Am I sure?
Yeah, I think I did a commercial on The Strain. I think I did. I think I was on a video feed or something.
Oh, interesting.
Did you Easter egg us?
Is he in the partnership?
Are you in the happy partnership where there's like stock footage of happy people?
Oh my god!
Oh man!
People are literally getting drained for vampires, and they're like, "I'm so happy to be part of the partnership."
Sanjay Desai is just like, "Man, I'm getting my residual check, sack."
Welcome to the partnership, brothers.
So you are going to take a bigger role in this season, though, correct?
I am, yeah.
So what can we kind of expect from the partnership? Will people start slowly figuring out that these are like the modern-day concentration camps, or are they going to go with it for a good bit into the season before things go south?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's something you're going to have to figure out for yourselves as the season goes on. But what I can tell you is that one of the cool things about Sanjay, and this is in season 3 as well. They mentioned to me, and what I found one of the most interesting parts about this character is they've based him on some of the these real life collaborators that existed in World War II.
Oh wow!
So there were a whole bunch of people that were kind of Sanjay-esque that were helping, you know, the Nazis out in setting up their new regime. And that's kind of, I mean, what Sanjay is. He's a human who, in return for favors and power and safety and preferential treatment, is willing to basically, you know, turn in his own and betray his own people.
So, really quick, can I, really quick, was it Vasily who has the history with being a collaborator in the Holocaust?
Yes. It's his grandfather.
So is that something we can expect to see? Because that's a very interesting point to have his history be so tied in with that. We had a whole episode about
it. Indeed.
Are we going to see your character interacting with Vasily in this season?
That's a good question, actually.
That's all we need. I do definitely
get to interact with a lot more of the main characters. Last year, it was just me and Eichhorst. We were buds, and a little bit of Palmer.
Yeah, you were kind of a meat bag that got dragged around everywhere.
Yeah, basically, I got tossed between the two power positions, and never actually got to interact with the master or anything like that, but I was just being bounced around between Palmer and Eichhorst. So this year, Sanjay gets a little bit more, gets a little more down and dirty. He's empowered a lot more. He will be a very interesting force to be reckoned with.
So what, like, as an actor, I'm not sure if Guillermo gave you a, or not Guillermo, but either of the directors gave you a kind of a incentive for betraying the human race and being kind of a dick, but like, did they tell you what's the word I'm looking for? Like, how do you justify it?
What my motivation?
Yeah, like, how do you justify it to yourself? Is it for yourself? Is it for your family? Like, do you have a...
This is a good question. I mean, this is a good question you can ask these people who actually did it in you know, the 40s and 50s. One of the things that I thought was fascinating when I did my research, this character, these people that actually did this, when they interview them 40, 50 years later, they refuse to confront the fact of what they did. They refuse to accept responsibility for what they did. They won't answer questions directly. They're constantly under the illusion they've somehow managed to rationalize to themselves that they were doing good. And I think any person like this, any kind of villain or whatever, especially the more complex and interesting ones, they don't wake up in the morning saying, I'm going to be a douchebag and an asshole and I'm going to hate myself. They wake up in the morning and think that they, whatever they're going to do is justified, and they rationalize it. And so obviously Sanjay is one of those types. He gets up in the morning and he says, I need to be on the winning team. I need to survive. This looks like the power, the force that's going to end up on the winning team. So I'm going to do the best that I can to make sure I'm aligning myself with that side for his own personal reasons. And you will find out what those reasons are. In
oh,
season.
Cool. Good.
Sweet. So we
That's
will
great.
Actually
great.
Learn more about your character.
Yeah. He's got an interesting motivator there and a backstory. And even that ends up like what you think you know, then you end up not knowing. So it's a very interesting journey.
Can I say a prediction and kind of look at your face while I say it? Is that cool?
Yeah, just okay, go for it.
So my prediction is they made a very big deal about Sanjay being Egyptian, and then they had the flashback back to when the Masters were overruled by the Egyptians in the past, mm-hmm. and now we have a coincidentally Egyptian man being a collaborator with the Master. Is it possible that this is all part of the plan to seal him back up?
So the Egyptian is going to be taking the Egyptian Master and lock him up in Egypt.
No, I just mean because of Sanjay's Egyptian descent, is he like a generational pass down of like ancient scripture of how to defeat these things, and that's why he's in the position he's in?
That's a very interesting question.
I think probably not.
where did you get then, like, Egyptian? Then, like, episode 9 comes, and we're like, it's like
we like to dig deep, Cass.
Where did you get the Egyptian information on Sanjay?
Last season,
they introduced him.
He's an Egyptian businessman.
He brought in. You were the guy that brought
the ship that had the thing on it.
The casket on it.
Yeah. So you're the Egyptian guy from Egypt with the bombs.
The Egyptian guy from Egypt.
Yeah. There you go. So we like to dig deep.
Yeah. You know,
in something that's usually shallow, but.
It's good. You're doing a lot of my work for me. It's good.
So what are you working on right now that you can promote aside from The Strain?
The Expanse, man.
Well, you already talked about The Expanse, man.
Hey, and how is that? Wait, have you met David Strathairn yet?
I have not. I just read about it.
Okay.
I just read about it. I don't even know what character he's playing.
I'll let you know on Twitter then when I find out.
What character is he? I'm trying to think who he would be. It must be one of the religious leaders from Abaddon's Gate.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
cool.
But you know, they don't tell us anything. I'm just one of the Rossi crew. We don't know shit.
That's right.
So thanks for calling in, Cass. Would you like to stay on the line while we cover the episode, or do you have to get out of here? It is after midnight.
It is after midnight. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm gonna say goodnight, but it was awesome seeing you. What I would like to know is as the series progresses, I think you'll have a lot more interesting questions because you'll get to see I would love to know if anybody actually caught Sanjay's voice or image or whatever in episode 1. Because I think that would be a good little Easter egg there, because he was there.
So I'm going to have to rewatch it. But guys at home, if you want to, please go to Twitter, follow at Cass Anvar, C-A-S-A-N-V-A-R, and tweet him what you thought, if you caught him in the episode or not.
and follow him throughout. Cass, can we have you back on once we see Sanjay again and maybe a little bit more developed?
You know, I always love to come come on after Buzz, so I'm here for you. I think you're gonna later on in the season. I think that's I think you're gonna have a lot more fun. You might not want to have me back once you see what I do, because
no, we don't.
Oh yeah.
Once Zach blew up New York with a nuke. I mean, I don't think anyone can be more hated. So I think you're good.
Yeah, you should be okay.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we might have to ban Max Charles from this show, but we'll keep you on.
Let me know.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Cass. Yeah, you have a great night.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Here, guys.
Bye, Cass.
Enjoy.
All right, guys. So we're going to break into this episode tonight. The episode is season 4, episode 1, The Worm Turns. I want to talk about this really quick because it can be applied to this episode in a few varieties of ways. The saying of "even a worm will turn," I'm reading this off Wikipedia, is an expression used to convey the message that even the meekest or most docile of creatures will retaliate or seek revenge if pushed too far. So this applies to Ephraim's storyline in that he's very defeated right now. Yeah. Like, we're going off him killing his wife and then his son being Anakin Skywalker, "I hate you!" and then setting off a nuke and being an all-around total dick. So he's not in the best of places, but we even see with this episode, by the end of it, he's kind of getting a little bit back on the horse.
Yeah.
Not in terms of addiction with his alcohol, but he's been riding that horse pretty steady.
Very steady.
But we see him kind of getting back to this. So let's get into Ephraim's storyline. I'll talk about how the worm turns applies to Zach as well, but so he's looking through apartments. We get introduced to this guy, Neil. Poor Neil does not make it through the episode. But to be perfectly fair, if your secret base has a giant garage door and it's open all the time, don't expect to really stand up to...
Yeah, it's not a good look.
No, I think if you have a secret base, don't you try to get like UV lights and just to have them set to go at least like towards the front,
because
so that you can...
Remember Palmer's room? It was like booby-trapped. They had the falling floor with the lights in it and everything.
Well, I mean, they're not rich, have something.
Yeah, a little something to, you know, take them out.
They didn't even put a door in front of them that's locked. Like, they legit were just like...
Anybody could just roll up.
Yeah, well, that's what it was. They rolled up in a bus and they just started coming out of the bus, right?
I mean, yeah, and that it was... pretty much a slam dunk from there on in.
And it's also like, if you see a bus full of Strigoi, maybe like shoot them as they come off the bus. Don't like wait for them all to like get out.
Have you ever heard of choke points? I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, but it's like in Star Wars, right? When the stormtroopers come through that door, eventually they make it through and...
Yeah, but let's be honest, like the Strigoi aren't like installing the buddy system right here. Like... They're not really doing that. So you got a little tiny bus door, just throw a grenade or something. Like have something. But anyway.
Sure. Grenade works. Yeah, I like that. The grenade part, you're right.
This happens after we find out that that Ephraim is going by Dr. Miller and helping people out for alcohol. Yes. Will work for booze. He's the standard homeless dude. That was kind of rude. I apologize for that comment. But I do want to talk about the first scene of the episode. This was cool. We get... it really sets the tone for what I think this final season is going to be. We have the commercial. We have the armbands that are red, white, and black. Yeah. Everything is kind of...
They're laying it on thick for that stuff, too. Whew. They're laying it on real thick.
Yeah, it's crazy how much this is like... Oh, I was going to make a joke, but I won't. But it's just like it's literally the Holocaust. It's literally Nazi Germany. You have the food lines. You have the people who aren't signed up to give blood all the time. And then you have the SS guards who are taking out anyone with the dogs and all that kind of stuff. It's straight up.
And the, you know, the propaganda videos, and it's just really, they're laying it on thick.
Do you guys, you guys might be a little young for this, but, and I know you guys know the recreation that was on ABC, but did you guys ever know the original V that was on NBC?
Yeah, I saw one part of it.
Just the rejoin.
It's so funny to see how this season looks very much like how, like, that series turned into, except that was, like, lizards and not vampire, not Strigoi.
Yeah.
And this is kind of horror in the mythology of Dracula, where that was about, and then still with the undertone of the Holocaust, like, you know, the Holocaust, Nazis, that was more like lizards in disguise, Holocaust, and sci-fi with like laser guns. But there's a lot of parallels to, I'm sitting here watching this and I'm like, yeah, that's this character. That's that part of the storyline. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I think like, again, these are based on books, and you can take any book that is a what's the word? A fabrication based on the Holocaust, and you can probably do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just glad we're finally at the point where we're meeting at the club and it's going down. I'm so sorry.
At the club?
Meet me at the club. It's, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's going down.
If I have to explain the joke, I've done my job. All right, so Ephraim's doing that. He's effing stuff up. I thought the scene that we opened with was cool. It was a good tone setter. Yeah. They blow up the bus. The bus just explodes when there's a fist fight going on.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, how is Ephraim not on fire? I get he was blocked.
I expect him to be a little more wobbly. At least, I know he can't die, but at least
medium rare.
At least stand up and be like, ah. And he just woke up and he's like, All right, well, guess I'll just walk out of here. I'm like, so no one else survived? Just Ephraim? Man, he is really...
Like, it could have been like...
really the bald head of the CDC.
It could have been like Get Smart, where he walks away and you see his whole back. It's just like burned and naked.
That would have been hilarious.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like he came out a little too unscathed. Especially like... Because he plays it off like, cool guys don't look at explosions. And then later we have Fett getting knocked out and he's like wobbly and like breathing heavy for like a good 5 minutes after waking up.
I don't know how I'm feeling. You even asked why he was breathing so hard. I was like, maybe it's the adrenaline?
But then I'm like, no, because he got knocked the F out and he's like waking up covered in shackles in a strange place. Meanwhile, Ephraim flies through the back of a bus after an explosion.
So yeah, let's do the math,
and then another explosion that knocks him further on his ass.
A second explosion that then he like flies back again and he's just like,
he's like brushing off plot armor as it gets up.
Yeah. Whew, so easy.
So he finds some dude who's just chilling with shrapnel in his leg. Yo, help me. And he's not going to help him. He helps him.
Yeah.
We find out that this guy is the brother of our new rebel faction.
Yes.
If we waited for them to do something, they wouldn't.
It's funny that his sister happens to be pretty and she's wearing lipstick. And so, I'm like, isn't this the apocalypse?
Hey, there's
like,
time.
Her hair's done. She has lipstick. I'm like,
there's
man.
There's always time for makeup.
Gotta keep yourself up.
Nail done. The hair done. The everything did.
Everything did.
Bus blown up. The hair done. The everything did.
You never know when you might meet the head of the CDC.
You're right.
So you have to stay on
point. It's just like AfterBuzz. We tell people come in.
Yes.
Camera ready.
Yes.
Because you never know when your bus will blow up.
That's right.
We tell that to every host.
You can meet the head of the CDC anywhere.
But is he the head of the CDC? I mean,
yes.
Now he's Dr. Miller.
He's Dr. Miller. Rick,
Miller,
Rick,
so.
off the record, not on this after show. He's actually never been the head of the CDC.
That's true.
We just like to say it.
Well, no.
But back on the record, dude, he's the head of the CDC all the way.
Did he call himself the head of the CDC like once in the season
I think he did once.
And then like ever since then.
To get on the train to get out.
Yeah.
Well, that plan went over really well. That was a good 5-episode build-up for nothing. So he goes, he stitches up the leg, he wants to leave, and she's like, you're why the world is the way it is. We're like, he kind of is.
Yeah, she's telling the truth.
If he had kept it in his pants 13 years ago.
Oh.
You know what? If
like, this whole series is an ad for abstinence.
This whole series is an ad for, like, Trojan or something like that. It's like, Trojan, we'll save your world.
That's how the series ends.
Guys, it's TVMA on the show. I mean,
it's just Ephraim coming face to face with Zach saying, this would have never happened if you weren't born. Cut to black. Trojan. That's it.
Protect New York.
Spoilers, guys, if you're still watching. I don't know why you would be, though. No, our show, not the show. The Strain's actually pretty cool. I'm excited for this season. So he's like, all right, let me just coincidentally grow a conscience here. I'll stay for 24 hours.
And he said if she has food and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's a nice trade. He can watch, kind of mend the guy, you know, a little bit, you know, in case he's bleeding or something. And he gets some food.
Well, he just lost his propane tank, right? So
he couldn't cook his meal earlier.
And his propane accessories.
Oh, yeah.
He's in a really bad spot.
No more vitamin C packs.
No more vitamin C packs.
You got a nice bottle of alcohol for that. Damn.
You got scurvy, mate. Give me a rum.
Is there any vitamin C in alcohol? I don't think so, but I mean,
definitely not.
You know what? That's a new drink. Someone out there, start putting vitamins in alcohol, and then I'm telling you, man, you make money.
There's vitamins in Four Loke. No, I'm just kidding. Four Locos. Imagine if he's like, you have scurvy. Here, I have vodka citrone.
There you go.
Has enough vitamin C.
All your essential vitamins and minerals. Because think about it, you could get drunk, but then be like, you know what? I don't feel that bad though. You know, I've got zinc. I've got like, you know, A, B, and C. I've got, you know, magnesium. I got
vitamin
B 12.
Yeah.
If this was a show on USA though, it'd be like, you just need vitamin C. Luckily, I've got this bottle of Simply Orange that's 100% fresh orange juice in my bag that's only $2.99 at supermarkets now.
It's like
USA does. They lay it on thick with the product.
Super thick.
Oh, product placement.
Yeah.
Here's some Tang for you.
Tang on aisle 6.
Man, you really get your Tang for your buck.
You had to hold it for a second.
I had to, yeah. So let's move into Vasily, the best character on the show. Yes. So he's going around just asking, you know, the locals where the silo with the nukes is. You know, as people do, like neighbors bring a cherry pie, ask for the nukes. And they're all like, girl, you got pretty eyes.
Got pretty eyes, girl.
How about I go back to your camp and kill you all and then take your woman? You trading your woman? So, of course, Backwaters, we know he's in a woods.
Oh, no. Adam Fink, look in the chat. Adam Fink just killed me right now. Oh, man. I don't know if I should repeat that, but...
Sure, it's good.
I will.
Adam Fink says... Adam Fink says, Trojan, we stopped the white.
That's really good, man. That's really good, man.
That's it. I dig it. Adam, you won.
Comment you won. Of the night... Thank you, Adam Fink.
Wow. Oh,
that's
man.
Great.
That's really good.
That's perfect.
I really am starting to believe that's the end of the series right there.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know, that's a great slogan.
Yes, it is. It's
if they start using that, then imagine if they sold condoms with, like, the Strain branding on it. Like, how weird
you
would
know
that
Just
be?
For the final season, that would be weird and funny at the same time. It would be one of those things where it's like you gotta buy it just to be like, I have it.
I bet Vasily's using the Strain brand condoms with Charlotte.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Vasily instead of going on these rants. So Vasily is like, oh, you're gonna regret this. You're gonna really regret this. Don't make me do this. He puts a knife to his throat. And then suddenly Quinlan, the bad ass!
Yo, he chopped like 3 heads in 0.2 seconds. Like, he was like...
He's fast, man. He's like Zorro.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. And they paid dearly. See, look, in the post-apocalypse, stop being mean to people and you wouldn't be beheaded. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
Although for a little bit, I wasn't sure where Quinlan was going to be because, you know, where we see... we see Vasily show up and he's with Charlotte and we're like, wait, is that an actress that just replaced Dutch or who is that? Have we seen her before? And so I was like, where is Quinlan with them? Is he not? And then, yeah, he shows up and...
Quinlan dealt them a very serious hand. Because, like, Quinlan doesn't... The thing that I like about him is that he's kind of like the Terminator.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He just wants to get the job done.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here to kill the master. Anyone else is kind of in my way.
So we're introduced to this girl, Charlotte. These guys obviously didn't know anything about the silo, unfortunately. But we see Fett kissing her, and then cut later to seeing him again in the back of a car having awesome sex, as Fett does, because
Yo,
he's
Fett gets
6'4".
Ladies. Yo, he gets the ladies, man. I think he said something about his aftershave. That might be it, man. He's like dabbing his neck. And he gets them, and they, you know, it's like catnip to the ladies.
Call it Old Slice. Not Old Spice, but call it Old Slice.
Oh,
and this
man.
Is why Rick is joining the panel this season, because he fits in with our sense of humor.
Perfect.
But we get this really weird scene. We kind of assume it's a dream sequence by the fact that Satrakian's, like, just randomly in the woods with a big book. You're like, okay, this is a dream sequence. But for the first time, we see Satrakian as a Strigoi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sestrigoikian.
That'll work.
Setrigoikian. There we go. Yeah. Setrigoikian.
Strigoikian.
But he says the face of God is the key to his demise.
Yeah. And I guess when they read it last season, everybody was trying to figure out, like, what it meant. Like, was it the sun meaning the, or was it, like, the UV light or something? So they never, I guess, really...
This is a direct correlation to saying that Zack's going to be the one who kills the Master. I haven't read the books, so this is my assumption. Like, but like that would make sense. The face of God. So like he's trying to breed himself a new face for the world through Zack, and the face of God will be the key to his demise. So if Ephraim can somehow bring his son back to the good side, and Zack has been groomed to be this perfect body for.
The master.
Yeah. It would make sense if Zack was the one to somehow take him out in the end. And you need to redeem the child because you can't have everyone leaving a series wanting to kill children.
Why not? Zack has earned it. Okay, Zack has really earned it.
I don't deny
that. But it'd be okay, right? Because before his balls drop, they actually just drop anyways. He loses all his junk. I mean, isn't that a good punishment?
Oh my god, the sound effect. No. No. Fett talks about how he doubts himself, and then Satrakian starts burning the pages, and it's all a dream, and he's like, oh, what would I do without you? And you're like, you say that to all the girls.
That's good, man. I mean, that's a good impression.
But you're without Dutch.
She doesn't know that, man. That's new game on her.
New game. So, cut ahead, they're picking corn, and she's telling a story about the snake in the room, about the farmer's daughter, like, oh, help me find the snake. And he's like, oh, I bet... She was like, oh, well, let me help you look.
You're going to like the way.
Charlotte, Rachel, where's Rachel? And then he gets knocked the hell out.
There's some Al Pacino in that.
There's somewhere an Al Pacino. And then, like, they're stuck at a house. He's got the manacles on him, and he's stuck next to this dude, Roman. Yep. And I'm like, yo, my man Roman.
That's right.
I'm down with Roman.
Roman is going to take us to the nukes.
I hope he doesn't die.
I think Roman is one of those characters that fulfills their duty, which is he brings them to the nukes and then he gets killed. I have that feeling, man. Once he takes them to the nukes, it's tragic death of Roman.
It's like, oh, thanks for taking us to the nukes. It's such a shame that it doesn't say, you know, season regular next to your name in the intro. Such a shame, Roman.
It says three episodes.
Yeah. One random Strigoi comes out and he's like, oh, and then that's
hey, Roman, you're my boy, but IMDb's not looking too good for you.
It says three. This is the third.
I saw Satrakian and he said that you're going to die, Roman.
Why does it say episode 3.8?
3.8.
But he wakes up, he finds out, like, Roman's got the patch, like, everything's cool. He knows that, okay, at least they have the lead. These ladies capture Charlotte, and Roman tells him they're going to try to turn her to his cause. But then Fett's, like, playing knocked out, grabs on the girls, they change the situation, and Quinlan comes in, and he's just a baller. He managed to not decapitate 10 people this time.
You know what? I noticed that he was like, you know what? These are ladies. I'm gonna be a gentleman. You know, I'm not just going to kill. You know, I'm just going to come in.
Women
like, hey,
and kids, man. Look. Women and kids.
Yeah, he was like, hey, look, get out of here. All right? We got things to do. We're trying to find missiles.
Yeah, and people to see, missiles to find, things to do. Man about town, Howard Moon.
So he didn't kill any of them. I was happy about that. I do think they should stop kidnapping people, though. But we don't know what they're doing in them shackles. That's all I'm saying. Well, might be even Trey, but
for him, yeah. I mean, but there's three ladies, right? Yeah, there's three ladies and like, there's him.
Yeah.
That's not a bad trade.
The spirit is willing, but the body is fleshy and weak.
It's like,
death by snoo snoo.
But it was nice to see he came in. He was like, you know what? I don't have to kill this time. You know, you guys have guns, but you know what? I'm not going to kill this time.
I also liked how everyone's dealing with the same kind of story where Roman's just like, yo, Nicole, man, Nicole. You know, I had a place, I had a bed, I had food, I got that. And she gonna go with some guy in some damn hole.
With a neck tattoo.
Next episode, we better just see, like, Gus with a neck tattoo chilling with some girl. Like, hey, Nicole, get me a beer.
Oh, man.
That'd be kind of a funny tie-in, but it's not gonna happen. I'm still upset about his buddy Gaucho, whatever the hell his name was, who got just a worm on him and killed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the way in season one.
I should, like Sleepy Hollow. We should do a little.
What's season one, man? I don't even remember season one anymore. I barely remember that Sean Astin was in this series.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he was in it.
Remember? No, that, I know. I mean, I know it was. I'm
little,
just saying.
That one little worm, like, it multiplied super fast.
Yeah, you remember last season where they the cop and the blonde cop who they built up a story and the bald guy who they built up a story and all these people they built up the story and then killed them all in one episode. So moving on, I do like that Quinlan's like, once again, Fett falls into a pile of manure and comes out smelling of roses.
It's true. Fett does have some amazing luck. And I think it's good for Quinlan to call out what the fans would call out and be like, bruh, like, okay, yes, you got locked up, but we found the missile guy?
Yeah, you know, like, we did pretty good.
Yeah, I woke up and he's right next to me.
Yeah, like, it wasn't like he got locked up and he was there, but he was in another room or something. Like, he was right next to him. It's like, man, Fett, like, I should keep you beside me, literally for the luck, like, just for the luck itself. Like, he's just, the plot is just, the plot's
thickening.
Yeah, the plot is straight strong for him.
So we gotta rush along. Real quick, guys, please go to iTunes, leave us a comment and review, give us 5 stars and we'll read it on the show. I'll just give a shout out to the last two, hilarious and opinionated. A great way to hear opinions for the show with a great mixture of humor. Love the impressions they do of the actors on the show. And then Harriel K says, I like the voices. I like this podcast a lot. I don't know many people watch this show, but listening to this is just having a lively discussion with my friends and thoroughly enjoying it. P.S. Love the voices. Thanks, guys. Again, go to iTunes, search AfterBuzz TV The Strain, or just search The Strain. We're one of the top ones on there. Curious to see if we're actually one of the only podcasts left still talking about it. I know a lot of people dropped it, but we are hanging on.
That's right.
Rick, holding Michael, and Steven, the partnership.
That's right. The partnership.
Hey, only 9 episodes left.
What's the partnership?
It's like this. There you go. You got it. You got it.
Yes. Yeah, so we can't even do the partnership, man. You know why? Because my people don't exist in the Strain.
Go on my Twitter.
That's how I don't know how to do it.
Go on my Twitter. Me and Michael did the partnership logo. It's pretty fun. Retweet that. It's got a link to the show in it. So let's move on to Son of a Bitch Dick Zach. So Zach's with Palmer and Eichhorst. Eichhorst gives him a gun, and then Palmer's like, wait a second, Zach. The White. Even though he's the master now, I'm calling him Palmer. Guys, just forevermore, if I say Palmer, I mean the master.
Yeah,
it's just easier.
Palmer, the master.
Even when I said the master before and said Bolivar, like, it's the same kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, that was a really very weird scene to watch on TV.
He had to get on his knees too. That was kind of weird.
No, Zach, come here. Let me give you some white.
Look, you can't give me the white. I'm standing up, man. Like, I got to get on my knees too. Like, I mean, that's just.
Hey, he's got to pay his respects.
And he's a kid, man.
He's got to pay his respects.
Kiss the ring, bitch. Yeah. Like, he's a kid,
and Eichhorst is looking a little upset about it.
Yeah,
yeah, a little butthurt. Yeah, little shot, like that little weird like threat.
I'm still, even from last season, I'm putting money on there's going to be some trouble in paradise, and I think Eichhorst is going to be the reason that the master, like that last little piece that messes it up for the master to lose, because Eichhorst is going to be, he's going to be like, you never chose me.
You never chose me. Zach with his gun, he goes to a mountain range that we assume is a mountain range, and then there's a tiger for some reason. He shoots it and kills it as it pounces on him.
I want to say he's like probably at a zoo.
No, he said a zoo. I'm just saying you don't know that originally.
Yeah.
Palmer's like, oh, he feels his power over lesser creatures. Dark potential is in him. And Eichhorst's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So the dude just walked through a little corridor, killed a tiger because he really had no choice. And
I love Eichhorst's faces throughout all of this. Because they're everything.
Eichhorst is, he's like, I deserve this role. And you gave it to Palmer, who you know I hate. And now you're giving it to this kid who I hate along as all the people that are watching this.
And then we have this sweet moment being Zach and his mom, which is actually the master hypnotizing him.
Yep.
But to be fair, the master has all of her memories and everything, so he can take on the personality of anyone he wants.
Yeah, which is also weird.
So yeah, Zach, Eichhorst walks in the office, starts talking to the master about Zach, and Eichhorst says, he is not interested in learning our Nazi ways. Strigoi ways.
Strigoi ways.
And then Palmer's just like, yo, I'm going to use him as a vessel. Oh, you got a problem? Then kill everyone I told you to, so I don't need him. So now we have Eichhorst is incentivized to go after Fett, to go after Dutch, to go after these people. So I think he's going to go one by one and try to take them down.
Hopefully. That would be cool. But they only have, what, 9 more eps? So
yeah,
they better.
I just don't know why he even thinks that Ephraim's still alive from that blast.
I think he just knows because of his connection with Zach and DNA and stuff. Oh, yeah, the master
can see through all of the Strigoi, so he's seen him.
Yeah, he's probably seen him afterwards. And he's like, we'll give Zach a trophy for his killing of the tiger. He's got the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight. Zach's playing generic shitty rock music, acting like a total douchebag, looking like a total douchebag. They send in a teen maid. And Zach's super excited and not lonely anymore.
And he smacks his little beast across the head. Like, go
bitch,
away!
Get out of here! Yeah. He smacked her so hard. It was funny.
I got like, another woman.
And she's like freaked out. And's like, so you're going to be here all the time? And she's like, I guess this is really awkward. Can you get your hair, kid? Yeah.
She's like, first, you look kind of douchey. Two, you have some kind of Strigoi animal thing here. That's scary. And three, this isn't normal.
Yeah, but it's the end of the world, and I get to eat for free and wear a cute maid outfit, right? No, this is
play
totally...
play with a little race car toy.
Oh my god, that was so dumb. That was so, I hate Zach so much. Scenes! We're in the scenes in the next episode. We see babies, we see Dutch, we see temples, we see a big nuke partnership building being possibly taken out. Zach wants to help the master because he's an asshole, and Eichhorst captures Satrakian, which is probably the biggest moment from the scenes from next episode that we saw.
Yes.
Which is crazy. We see that Satrakian's in a hospital bed, and Eichhorst is standing at his feet being like, yo, what up, 823-0385-8765-3099. Okay, cool. We have a cool segment we're going to do tonight. Let us know in the chat what you guys think of it. Let us know on the YouTube comments what you guys think of it. I wrote some skits for The Strain.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, we're going to read it in script style. We were going to film it, but we're like, it might not be enough effort. Might be too much effort. So there's a narrator, which will be played by Anthony, our booth guy.
Yo, can you hear me?
I can hear you pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's written with us as the characters in the world of The Strain. So it's Rick, it's Michael, and it's me, and we're in the world of The Strain. This first one is called Strain Logic Episode 1, and it's entitled Tight Spaces. So this harkens back to Season 2, where they're down in the sewers, and there's just that fucking hole that they make make the biggest guy in the group, Fett, just go through it, and they're barehanded, and it's a hole that the Strigoi go through all the time, and you're like, how do they not have worms or anything on them?
Thank you.
So, this skit is based on the thought of that. So, we're just going to go ahead and read it and see how it goes. Throw it on the wide if you want, Anthony. This is more... The great thing about this is our audio listeners get to have fun, too. So enjoy. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So Michael and Steven are standing in front of a small hole in the wall about 2 by 2 feet wide from season 2. There are screeching sounds echoing from within the hole. Steven.
All right, guys. Here's the plan. We squeeze through this tight little hole, set the charges, and exit through the other end before we blow our load.
Phrasing.
It was intentional.
Hey guys, not to be the logical one here, but I'm not sure I'm the biggest fan of this plan.
Why not?
We see Rick, who is wearing a wife beater and short shorts.
Well, apparently I didn't get the memo about crawling through dark tunnels that are used by the Strigoi. Won't there be worms all over the inside of that tunnel?
Rick, I really think you're overthinking this.
Rick, it's just a tunnel. Do you really think the Strigoi just go around bleeding worms everywhere? You're gonna be fine.
Yeah, I mean, out of all of us, you look the most comfortable. It's like 100 degrees down here. I'm actually kind of jealous.
Okay, but guys, all it takes is one worm and I'm dead. Plus, didn't you see the opening credits? I'm not even a series regular.
Rick, do you really think the writers are going to kill the only Asian guy in the show? You have plot armor. You'll be fine.
What about the last time you guys crawled through a hole? Zach and Jackie died.
We cut to a scene of Zach Wilson and Jackie Borowski on the ground covered in worms.
Yeah, but they were white. Without you, there wouldn't be any diversity left.
Michael nods for a second before having a slight realization, but then shrugs it off.
I know. Well, okay. You guys are right. Hey, wait. What about Matt Lieberman?
Again, white.
All right, fine. Could you at least let me wear one of your jackets?
I mean, I would, but I'm not wearing anything underneath.
Me neither. It's hot down here.
Are you...
Screeching getting louder.
Guys, we don't have time for this. Fine, Rick, take my jacket. Let's go.
Steven takes off his jacket and hands it to Rick. He's now shirtless. Rick takes the jacket, smells it, and cringes a bit, taken aback before putting it on as we fade to black. We fade in with Steven walking into frame completely clean.
Oh, man. Michael, you good?
Michael walks in front and frame completely clean, black jacket and all.
Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, Rick, you good?
We see Rick emerge wearing Steven's black jacket, completely covered in Strigoi worms.
Fuck you guys.
Rick pulls out a gun, puts it in his mouth, and pulls the trigger. Steven and Michael are looking down as if they are staring at Rick's body.
Well, shit. I'd make a sex joke, but I feel he may have had it coming. Wait, who's that?
A random Asian guy walks into frame.
Oh, him? He's the new guy, Rick's replacement.
We cut to a slate series regular, new guy, end of episode 1.
There we go.
Oh, man. I don't know, guys. Let me know if you enjoy it. They're going to string together a little bit, so some of the jokes will follow.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Tear actually came out of my eye when you died, Rick.
I'm still alive.
We killed you in the first episode. I don't know how we're going to write our way out of this one, but we'll find a way.
Rick will be recast as Rick.
Rick will be recast as Rick. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on today's after show. Yeah. Thanks again to Cass Anvar for calling in. Of course, he's Sanjay Desai in the show. We'll be seeing, apparently, more of him with cool storyline going on. Let all the fans know where we can find you.
Well, you can find me online at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G, R-I-P Angel.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, S-T-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-U-X, doing the Strain After Show and Killjoys on Sundays, but next Monday at 7 with a special guest. That was our show. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited to have... unfortunately, Stacey Newsom couldn't come back to the panel this season. She's a little too busy. But we have Rick. We replaced her with Rick. I'm not too happy about it, but I'll deal. I'm just kidding. Guys, we're excited. Episode 2 next Sunday. Again, we're live Sundays at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please join us in the live chat. Please hit that thumbs up on YouTube if you haven't already. Again, go to iTunes, leave us a comment. And remember, we can reply to comments if you reply and you comment on the video after the stream is over. If you're commenting in the live chat right now, we can't really reply to them as fast because we're here and they don't save.
Unfortunately.
So even if you're in the live chat now, wait till the video ends, leave us a comment, and let us know what you think. Until then, we will see you guys at the same Strigoi place, same Strigoi time.
That's right.
Oh, also, our segment is called Cookies with Satrakian. That's what our storyboard segment's called. Just so you guys know.
The milk and cookies or the
cookies? Milk and cookies with Satrakian. We will see you guys next Sunday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Trojan, it protects against the white. It's sperm.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.